And thank you very much, choir, for sharing with us on this Chinese New Year celebration day at IBC. That was a blessing and a challenge. Today we are going to be sharing with you another story. Over the month of January, we've had a story of, if you remember, Sammy and the sheep. And the focus has been on Psalm 23. Well, today we're going to share with you a different story. And it's actually kind of a mission story. It involves a people group in China. And I know it will be an encouragement and a blessing to both the kids and to the adults. So listen carefully as it kind of sets the stage for the message itself. So I'm going to ask Miss Jennifer. And if you're a celebration, or not a celebration, if you're a kids club kid, come on up here on this stage with Miss Jen and sit very still and very quietly, please, and listen to the story. Looking forward to having some lunch together with everybody on this Chinese New Year celebration. But I'm also looking forward right now to sharing the word, God's word, and what he has to say about hope with you. This morning we introduce you to a people group. The people group is called the Uyghurs. My Chinese brothers and sisters, can you help me say it properly? What? Okay. We'll stick with Uyghur. I can't pick that out, sorry. It's too difficult for my mind. As I was researching this is how the different names that I've come up with, or the different ways it's been used and spelled. The book has Uyghur like this, and then other ways of spelling Uyghur. Uyghur. And then the Chinese writing there, I guess that's what you're saying over here. But they're part of China, in the far western region of China. And the Uyghurs have a long history in the area. Can you see the Xinjiang province? It's close to all the stans that Kazakhstan, what's the other one? Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan. So it's in that region. There's approximately, from what I can gather, 15 million Uyghurs in China, and a number of others in various surrounding regions, such as Turkey and some of the Stan countries. Yes, the majority of the Uyghurs are Muslim. They're Muslim in faith. There's been quite a lot of tension in this region with the main government of China, feeling that they would like rather prefer to be independent of China, that they're not really Chinese in their thinking and their culture and practice. I have got to speak recently with missionaries that have been reaching out to this group. In fact, one of our missionaries here at the church has been many times in this region as well. And what they are doing is urging other Chinese Christians, other Chinese Christian brothers and sisters, to consider going to this part of the country because they are allowed to. This is still China, even though it is seen as a rather important mission field, reaching out to Muslims. It is a difficult thing, but it is still a mission field that Chinese Christians can go to relatively easy. It's not an easy place to live, and it's not easy ever reaching Muslims, but they can go there. They can be there legally and live and work there and also share Christ there. So, my friends, we need to pray for this region. We need to pray for this region. Pray for those who are reaching out there, working there, who are sharing Christ there. We need to pray for our missionaries as well. in particular those that we know, we support, we care for. We need to pray for them, for protection. I've been asked not to mention names with this sensitive area. Most of you know the people that I'm referring to, I am sure, who have been going to this region. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was chatting with them, and they had mentioned they were planning to be there for a particular event, and they couldn't make it. But some others from the organization were there, and there was a crackdown and a raid on the area, and they were arrested. They were arrested for having a gathering, a Christian gathering, and reaching out in this area. They were thankful that they weren't there at the time, but they still have a burden to return, to go back, and to help others in this area. As the story that we just heard from Miss Jennifer with the kids shows, these people, the Uyghurs, like all of us, need hope in their lives. This morning, I am wanting to talk to you about this topic of hope. What is the opposite of hope? Despair? Hopelessness? Hopelessness? Mankind needs hope going forward. One who has lost hope, one who is in despair, one who is hopeless, sees no point in living, and they may just give up. All kinds of things can give people hope. There are many things that people put their hope in. Just a new day tomorrow, that gives people hope. If they can see, well, tomorrow is another day. Maybe it'll be different than today. And so they hope in tomorrow. People put hope in a potential better job, a better employment around the corner. You can put up with some really difficult things and pretty bad things for a while if you have hope that there's going to be change coming up. Some people put their hope in being able to buy a home for themselves one day. Some people put their hope in their kids, in their kids' future, and looking to that. This hope that we're talking about, though, is not wishes. It's different than a wish. Saying, I hope I win the lottery this week, the Powerball jackpot this week, that is really more of a wish than a hope. It is not a genuine hope. It's not something to put your hope in, because it will indeed let you down. The trouble is this. Hope apart from God is always going to disappoint. That job that you put your hope in may not come through. You may not get it. You may end up just being priced completely out of the housing market. It may not happen. The market itself may crash. The economy go bad. We've seen what people can do when they place all of their hope in these kinds of things and it all comes crashing down around them. And perhaps you yourself, or you have known people close to you that have lost all hope because they place their hope in these things instead of in God. So today, I want to show you the hope that is Jesus. As Christians, we are to see beyond this life. We have been given a hope by God that it grows as we grow older. As we grow older and as we are walking with the Lord and we grow more mature, and this hope that is in us grows. Hope for the things in this world begins to slip and it begins to be not as important as we are walking with the Lord. In the New Testament alone, hope is mentioned over 50 times. And this morning I want to share just a few of these passages about hope with you. Let us pray, and as we pray, let us also pray for this region, the Xinjiang region of China, and the Uyghur people, and those that are ministering there. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for this region that we have been introduced to this morning. Some are familiar with it, others may never have heard of it. But Lord, this is a people that needs the hope of Jesus Christ. I pray for those who are going, who are reaching out there, who are sharing Christ. I pray, Lord, for even those from our church that are working in this, that, Lord, you would go with them, that you would protect them, that, Lord, you would bless their efforts and labor. Father, may people from the Uyghur community come to know Jesus Christ. May you do an amazing work among those people. Father, I know that you died for all the world, and if anyone believes in you, they too will be saved. So, Lord, would you be pleased to save many of these people? Do a work, we ask. Now, lead us as we look at these verses on hope. And if there's anybody in this place that is hopeless, that today you would reach in their hearts and show them the hope that they can have in Jesus, and may they turn to him in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's first take a look at Christ, our hope. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Without him, we would not have hope for anything beyond this life. You might as well just hope for a good economic year. You might as well just hope for the lottery. Without him, we have no hope beyond this life. And this verse reminds us that Christ is in us, and that knowledge is what brings us a hope for eternity, not just the future, but eternity. When we see our lives and we see imperfection around us, we see problems, we see results of sin, we can lose hope. We can be discouraged. But when we look at Jesus, how he loves us, how he lives in us, we are brought hope once again. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Since our God is the source of our hope, we wonder what this hope does for us. And this verse tells us that through the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you, we are filled, we can be filled with all joy and peace. That's what it says. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. People everywhere are looking for peace. People everywhere are looking for happiness. You know where they're looking for that in? They're looking for that in wealth. They're looking for that in fame. They're looking for that in just having good times. They feel if they can just enjoy life and have fun that they will find this happiness and this peace and joy. But we know that lasting joy and peace come from within. And this verse tells us that God's hope, or hope in God, brings these things to us. Look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. We can hope because God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, is our hope. That is where our hope comes from. Think of that. Our Savior is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And this omnipresent, omnipotent God is our hope. He is what our hope is in. Second, we want to look at those without hope. Look around your world. Look around your office at work. Look around your school. Look around your community. You see people that don't have the hope of Jesus Christ in their lives. Ephesians 2, verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Being without Christ and without God in this world means without hope. That's what this is saying. If you don't have God, you don't have that hope. They may hope in worldly things such as money, such as power and fame and everything else. They put their hope in this. But the truth is, even those who achieve these things, wealth, fame, success, even those who achieve these things, mostly they're disappointed when they achieve it. That's where their hope has been. And when they achieve it, they finally get it. They realize inside they're just as hopeless and empty as they were before. And that leads to greater despair, because now what else is there to hope in? What else is there to hope in? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Who are those fallen asleep? Those who have died. Okay? He's talking about those who have died. This is an expression about death. I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So he's writing to people and encouraging them. And he says, yes, you have some loved ones that you know that have passed away. They've died. And I don't want you to sorrow as those without hope, because you have a hope, and your hope is in Jesus Christ. This is an eternal hope. Those who are in this world without hope, they're hopeless. And there are those all around us without hope. And maybe they have relatives who died without hope. There are those who are given a false or a wrong hope. Like when a man by the name of Mr. Hitler gave young Germans a false hope that they were setting up a superhuman race by eliminating those who were not as advanced. They all died hoping in the wrong thing. They were given a false and a wrong hope. Then there are those who believe in a false or a wrong God. On one extreme, they're told perhaps if they are killed or kill others in the process, then they themselves will have a reward in heaven. And this is their hope. But it is a false and it is a wrong hope. Or even those who are told there's no such thing as God. No such thing as God. But one day, even they, everyone, will one day die and stand in the presence of God. And they will be surprised at having put their hope in something that is false and wrong. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, you know the rest? The judgment. After this, you stand before God. So we all have that appointment. Look around you, everywhere you go. You will see people without hope. Love them. Have a burden for them. See their condition. And thirdly, we want to see this morning that hope is given by God. Let's see what Peter has to say. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. With all the false hopes given to man by Satan and by the world, how did we get this living hope? This living hope was given by God through His mercy when we believed in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This is what this is saying. We have an inheritance, incorruptible. You can put your hope in this inheritance because it will not be destroyed. It will not fade away. It will not pass away. It is eternal. God in His mercy set hope before us. We received it, and this hope in our lives as believers, as Christians, this hope has become that anchor for our souls, that anchor that holds us in place in a world that is blowing us all over the place in the storm. As the old hymn states, we have an anchor. It says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And the chorus says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Do you know that song? Raise your hand if you know this song, we have an anchor. Oh, a few of us will be doing a quartet up here, I think, if I ask us to sing together. Do you have that anchor? That anchor. A relatively small anchor can hold a big ship secure in a storm. That anchor is that hope in Jesus Christ, that steadfast and sure hope in Jesus Christ. Even though there's storms in your life, and it blows and pushes you every way, but that anchor, that hope in Jesus Christ is what keeps you secure and steadfast. And fourthly, now we continue to hope. We continue in hope. This hope is not just a one-time thing. It's a lifelong thing. Romans 8:24, for we were saved in this hope. This is your salvation. When you came to Jesus Christ, you trusted Him and received His forgiveness. You were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? In other words, we're not there yet. We're not finished. Eternity is still out there. Heaven is still to come. The best part is still to come. We're not there yet. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. What's another word for perseverance? Patience. Patience. Okay, so our hope is there. We were saved by hope, but now we still live in hope. We're not there yet. The best part is still to come. And we're looking towards that. And so our lives that are lived in hope. Will difficult things happen? Jesus says you will have troubles, you will have trials. Difficult things will happen. But you have that anchor for your souls, and you have that hope in Christ Jesus that the best part is still to come. It's still to come. Heaven is there. He went to prepare a place for us. That is our inheritance, incorruptible. Nothing can change that. And that's what we keep our eyes set on. That is what we call the finish line. But we're not there yet. So we continue in hope. We are saved by this hope, and we live with this hope. We look forward to our spiritual inheritance, but we wait with perseverance. We wait with patience. We cannot hurry. We cannot hurry along our reward until we are finished with what God has given us to do. Each of us have a purpose. God made you each. God made you special, unique, and He's gifted you to do the work that He wants you to do. You have a race that you are to run, and no one can run that race but you. And God wants you to run it and run it well. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the finish line. We cannot hurry, but we must hope with perseverance and patience. Our living hope rises out of assurance of our salvation. And this hope, this assurance is stirred in us by the Spirit of God. This hope operates within us in a certain manner, and it brings about a desire for purification. 1 John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope in him, what's the word? Purifies himself, just as he is pure. It is this hope that we have, that makes us better people, that makes us loving people, caring people, giving people. We realize that in Jesus Christ we are heirs to this inheritance, heirs to all the riches of God and His glory. So we don't need to be selfish. We don't need to be covetous. We don't need to look anymore to the world and what it has to offer us for hope, because we are already rich in Jesus Christ. And we need to share our riches by witnessing and sharing with others that hope. And our hope can be their hope. And our Savior can be their Savior. This morning, my question to you is, do you have this hope that I'm talking about this morning? Do you have this hope? Are you hopeless in this world? Have you gone into despair and pretty much lost hope? You thought that your hope could be placed in things in this world like money, like your career, like riches, fame, popularity, even pleasure. And maybe you've achieved some of that and still realize that you are in despair and hopeless. My friends, you're looking to the wrong things. Look to Jesus. Look to Him this morning. He is your hope. Anything else is going to disappoint. Make Him your hope, and that hope can be an anchor in your life. Would you stand with me, please?